If you have your Bibles this morning, I feel led to begin in the book of Matthew, chapter number 11. I want to look at verse number 25, all the way through verse number 30 this morning. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Father, we thank you for this invitation of Jesus Christ. And Lord, now as we stand to preach, I pray that you would fill us with your power and with your spirit. And I ask, God, that you'd help us to speak your word to your people. And Father, I pray for these that are hearers, that they'll make application and become doers. Give us the enlightenment that we so need. God, we pray for the sick. God, we pray for those that are weak. We pray for the widows, the widowers. And God, we ask this morning that your hand would be upon the lost, most importantly, that conviction might fall and that courage might be brought forth to repent. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. In the first 10 chapters of Matthew, Matthew presents Jesus Christ and gives us a revelation of the King. In this chapter, we begin to see some of the rebellious, negative responses to the King. First of all, there was the response of doubt by John the Baptist. Second of all, there was a response of those that were difficult to please. And then thirdly, there were entire communities and cities that were denouncing the name of Christ and defiant. In other words, they lived in unbelief. And you know how it hurts to be rejected. You know how it hurts to offer friendship and to be thrown back in your face if you've ever had that happen to you. Imagine how Jesus feels as he's come to this earth, left the splendor of glory to come down to this sin-cursed earth. And he's done nothing but good and loves people, and they've rejected him. I want you to see, first of all, what Jesus does in this time. He is praising God's sovereign purpose. In the middle of rejection, he's praising God. Look with me in verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said. Now, the scripture says that Jesus answered, though no other words are recorded but his own. He's not just talking to himself. He is replying in consideration of his rejection and the unbelief of those unrepentant cities wherein he's preached. And look what he says. He praises God personally in the middle of rejection. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth. He knows that his Father is sovereignly in control of all things. And although he's been rejected, he can still trust the Father. You and I must learn that likewise. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Not only does he praise God personally, but he praises God publicly. Listen to what he says. Because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. By the world's standards, the religious leaders were the wise and the prudent. But God has hidden it from them, the truths of Jesus Christ. Not that they couldn't have known, because it was before their eyes. Where did he hide it? It was hidden by the darkness of their own hard heart and the darkness of their own unbelief. They rejected truth. And God lifted the veil and revealed truth to babes, those that are humble, those that are helpless, those that are poor, those that are lowly. Those are the you and I's of this generation, where he's revealed himself to us. So he praises God publicly. Then he praises God presently. Look in verse 26. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. Jesus subscribes himself to the will of God and says, even so, Father. You and I must realize this morning that we have to let God take whatever way he wants to please himself. I do not know why Jesus called a fisherman by the name of Simon Peter to be a disciple. I do not know why Jesus called a tax collector named Matthew to be a disciple, and he didn't call Nicodemus, a religious ruler, to be a disciple. I do not know why he did that, but I know this. He did what seemed good, and my God, sovereignly in control, can do whatever he pleases. The scripture says in Psalm 115, verse 3, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 135, 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth. Though we may be rejected, it's okay. Though we may be accepted, it's okay. God will do what he pleases. And Jesus praises God's sovereign purpose. You realize this morning in God's sovereignty, there is not a step you take, not a breath you take, not a time that the heart beats in your chest that God does not know about it. So Jesus praises God's sovereign purpose. Number two, he presents God's supreme principle. Look in verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. What is God's supreme principle? It's this, that if you want a fellowship with the Father, you can only do so through the Son. That's a deep thought. There's a lot of people that'll tell you they worship God, but they will reject Jesus Christ. You can't worship God except you come through the Son. If you will hold your place here and turn to the book of John, there are some verses in the scripture that you should underscore along this principle. It's in John chapter number 5 and in verse number 23. This wonderful text says that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. John 5, 23. Underscore that verse in your Bible. While you're close, turn to John 6, verse number 44. John 6, 44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. You see that? The only way you're going to get to know the Father is through the Son. And the only way you can know the Son is if the Father draws you to the Son. Say amen. If you've experienced the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, that's the Father drawing you to the Son. And the Son, having died for your sins, washes all your sins away when you put your faith in him. And then you can have a relationship to the Father. Listen, God will not look upon sinners. We'll not come before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need unless we come in the name of Jesus. It's the only way. While you're close, John chapter 6, verse number 65. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That is Jesus presenting God's supreme principle. All our relationship to glory has to come through Jesus Christ. It'll come through no other. Only Jesus gave his life for you. Only Jesus was buried, and only Jesus was raised again, justified, amen, for you and I. Praise God. Now, I want you to turn back to Matthew chapter 11, and I want us to, we're going to anchor down right here, thirdly. Jesus is proclaiming God's sure promise. Though Galilee has rejected Christ, he still would have them to be forgiven. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 4 says, he will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Listen, the call of Christ. Verse 28, come unto me. Who's he saying this to? To Capernaum, to Bethsaida, to those lands of Galilee that have rejected him,
Jesus says, come unto me. The word come literally means that you leave your present predicament where you are and you advance to another state. Who does he ask to come? Preacher Darren, I think this is just for a select few. I think according to predestination, he already knows who's going to be saved and he knows who's going to be lost and he just works it all out. Let me tell you something. He does know what our choices are going to be, but he still gives you the right to choose. He gives you the freedom to make that choice. And listen what he says, come unto me all. Say it with me. All. Who's this for? Anyone, whosoever, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. The word labor is represented as those that are toiling. Those that are toiling with sin and with guilt, with care and anxiety, with sorrow and with oppression. You know, there's a lot this morning that's toiling over the evil in our land, toiling because of terrorism, toiling because of sin, toiling because of poverty, toiling because of brutality, toiling because of disease. I dare say this morning, there are some of you that are toiling because of relationships and situations and circumstances within your families. It suppresses you and you're toiling under this load which you presently carry. Many families are suffering from tiredness of soul. It's not that you sit up and watch the late night show or the late night show, but that you're tired of soul because of the labor that you've been involved with because of the evildoers upon our land. Not only those that are laboring, but those that are heavy laden. That means that you've been burdened down with care, burdened down by sin, maybe even oppressed by religion itself. God help. There was a French king who built this great big palace. It was kind of a vacation palace for him to try to get away. And the name of it in French is Sans Souci, which means without care and without worry. And as soon as that king built that great castle, that great palace, and he got inside of it, he could not close out the cares and worries because he realized that as soon as he got inside his palace called Without Worry, that the real worries were within his heart. And he could not close the palace doors upon his own heart. And I want to say to you today, you may put on a beautiful smile, and you may have yourself all dressed up to come to church. You look so nice. But God knows the toil and the heavy-laden hearts that are here today because of your family predicaments, because of burdens that you presently carry. Look what Jesus said. Preacher, what am I supposed to do when I get in this predicament? Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not only the call of Christ, but the charity of Christ. He said, I will give you rest. This is a rest for those that are weary. It's not a rest that's earned. It's not something you get out and labor for or work for. It's not some prize that you win for some endeavor. This rest that he gives you is a free gift. He said, I will give you rest. It's a relief. He delivers us from sin, from its penalty, and from its guilt. He delivers us from the worries of this world. It's a present rest. And let me tell you something. When Jesus says, I will give you rest, it's a perfect rest. What Jesus promises, Jesus will perform. Brother Talavard spoke about a man one time that was, I think he was pulling a rickshaw. Do you know what a rickshaw is? It's one of them two-wheeled carts that you can ride in that's pulled by a man. In the Philippines, it was very normal. But he told me about a man that was pulling the rickshaw. It was empty, and he was going back to the marketplace, and he saw on the side of the road a man with a heavy load on his shoulders in a great big backpack. And the little old man was struggling. And so in compassion, the man pulling the rickshaw stopped and said, sir, would you be relieved of your load? Would you come unto me and climb into this cart and let me pull your heavy load? Not just your heavy load, but you and your heavy load. The man said, certainly, thank you, thank you. And he got inside the rickshaw and he sat down and the man began to pull the load. And after he got almost to the marketplace where the man was going, he turned around to look, and the man was still carrying that backpack on his shoulders. Still weighted down on that. He should have took the load off. He should have set it off to the side and enjoyed the rickshaw, enjoyed the one who was pulling him and the one who was relieving his burden. I'll say something to you this morning. Jesus has come by with an empty rickshaw. And he sees you toiling under your heavy load, just barely. I'm telling you, it's all you can do just to get into church this morning. And he says, would you come unto me? Would you get on board? Would you allow me to carry you and your load? And you say, oh yes, thank you, Jesus. And you get on board, but instead of unweighting yourself of the load, you continue to carry it, though you sit in the rickshaw, and you enjoy the church, and you enjoy the service, and you enjoy the ride. Hey, Jesus said, take the load off and give it to me. He wants to take our heavy burdens away from us. He wants to get us in a situation this morning where he can relieve us. I see the charity of Christ. Next of all, I see the care of Christ. He says in verse 29, take my yoke upon you. Now, what is a yoke? A yoke is used in farms for linking two oxen together. And when you link those two oxen together, one ox may be stronger than the other, and one may be older than the other. But those oxen will plow together, and if one tries to kick out, that yoke will dig into him, and he has to stay there, or he's going to get bruised up. Any of y'all know what a yoke is? I'm not talking about egg yolks. I'm talking about a yoke of oxen. Okay? If you know anything about farming, you know what a yoke of oxen is. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Wait a minute, Preacher Darren. I had a heavy load. It was a yoke of bondage, a yoke of oppression. Yeah, Jesus took that yoke away from you, right? He's given you relief. When he saved you, can I get a witness? When he saved you, he took the yoke off. Then what does he say? He says, take my yoke upon you. Wait a minute, Preacher Darren. I don't want any yokes. I'll tell you something. Once you get saved, you need to get yoked up with Jesus. He didn't just save you for you to sit around and quit. He didn't just save you to sit around the church and say, well, I tell you what, I really like it here. This is a nice place to be. No. He said, now that we've got rid of the yoke of bondage, we're going to put a yoke of service on you. I don't want a yoke. Let me tell you something about his yoke. His yoke fits. The Bible says in the next verse, he said, what did he say? My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You see, this morning, it's time for us to get under a new yoke. Serving Jesus Christ with a new burden this morning. His commandments are not grievous. No wonder he said, and learn of me. Preacher Darren, I don't want to take that new yoke, but when you do, learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Jesus is qualified to teach us, okay? Now I want you to think about this for just a minute. If you are yoked up with Christ, you should be in step with him. And if you're not, no wonder when Jesus is merciful and Jesus is meek and I'm not, that yoke pulls on my neck, because I wouldn't be in step with what he's doing. When he is lowly and hard and I'm filled with arrogance and pride, no wonder that yoke cuts on my shoulders and galls my neck, because I'm out of step with him. He is the stronger one. You know what it says? What he's teaching, learn of me. He says, when I pray, you pray. As I trust the Father, you trust the Father. As I go about my day without worry, you go about your day without worry. Hey man, you're looking at me like a cow looking at a new gate. And Preacher Darren, I've never heard this before. Listen, as Jesus submitted his will to the Father, I submit my will to the Father. As Jesus is gentle, causing no hurt or no harm, I am to be gentle, causing no hurt or no harm. He and I are pulling together, and if I decide I'm going to do something different, he's going to pull me back his way, because he's got his yoke upon me. Are you with me? Preacher Darren, I really don't want to bear that yoke. Let me say this morning, you need to learn of him. That older oxen, we'll train that young oxen, at Young Ox that says, I'm strong, I can do whatever I want to. He'll pull off to the side, and that older oxen will just pull him back in line. Amen. I want to say to you this morning, Jesus said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And look what he says. Here's the comfort of Christ. And you shall find rest unto your souls. Well, preacher, he's already given me rest. He said, if I'd come unto him, if I was laboring and heavy laden, and he would give me rest. But I'm talking about a rest beyond rest. Wait a minute, Preacher Darren. I'm not just talking about relief. So many of you, you're just into relief. All these advertisements and commercials, they're just into relief. But I'm talking about refreshment each and every day of your life. There is a rest beyond rest for your soul. He said, you'll find that as you're yoked up with me and as you learn of me, and every day go on, you will learn this. What do you mean, preacher? Youngins, there's a rest. No matter what the circumstances are, good or bad, there's a rest in Jesus Christ. Jesus had been rejected, and though he was rejected, he praised the Father. And he says to you and I, no matter what your circumstances are, you can learn of me. No matter what your circumstances are, it's just you and I and the Father. No matter what your... Listen, this walk of life is independent of our circumstances. All you're interested in is relief, and that's great. But Jesus says, I want you to know there's more to this walk than just relief. There's a day-to-day refreshment, a day-to-day rest that we can have in Jesus Christ. Oh, this morning, youngins, we need it so desperately. The comfort that only He can give us. And it is the ability to have joy, Brother Tony, no matter what the Lord determines in our life. It's the ability to write a song and a verse like that. When you're going through the hardships of life, you learn that no matter whether we're up or whether we're down, no matter whether things are good or whether things are bad, Jesus is in control. And He's still good. He says in verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What are you yoked to this morning? Are you yoked to a career? Are you yoked to a lifestyle? Are you yoked to the world? Are you yoked to some sickness? I don't want to be yoked to a sickness. I want to be yoked to Jesus. And if I have sickness because I'm yoked to Him, He'll pull the load. There was a Hindu priest, and they were having some of their feast days for that religion, and he went down to the corner shop to buy some powder to dye his robes for the feast day. And he bought that powder, and when he came home, he started to take it out of the package, and on the front of the package it said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He thought, I need that rest. There's no rest in my religion. It's feast day and keeping all these sacraments. That's all it is. What does that mean, come unto me? He went to a fellow Hindu priest and says, I found this on a piece of wrapping paper. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. What does it mean? I don't know. For years he sought, what does it mean? And one day he saw some Christians down in the marketplace. And there was a preacher up that was sharing the word of God there on the street corner. And he stood long enough to hear what it means. That if we will come to Jesus, leave where we are and all that we have come to trust and trust Him, if we are laboring and are heavy laden, that He will take that and He will give us rest. He will relieve us and save our soul. And that Hindu priest stepped away from his once found faith into a new life and trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And God called him to preach, and many were converted from the Hindu religion. Why? When he heard, come unto me. Are you listening to me? Where are you at today? What is it you're yoked to? What is the burden that you're carrying? Jesus said, get in my rickshaw. Let me pull this for you. Take my yoke. Learn of me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Though you've been rejected by your friends, though you've been slandered, though they talk about you on Facebook, though they run you down in the marketplace, hey, it doesn't matter what they say. It's just you and me and the Father. That's all that matters. You stand to your feet. I believe this morning there's some folk. I'm telling you, you've been yoked up to a diagnosis. I was once yoked to Jesus, but now what's become important in my life is this burden that I'm carrying. Let me tell you something. It's never been about the burden. It's all about Jesus. Yes, you can't bear the burden alone. There's no way you can. He allows you to have the burden to show you that you can't, but He can. There's nothing too hard for Jesus. He'll comfort you today. He'll give you rest today. Oh, if you'd just get under His wing. Come on, who needs the mighty this morning's preacher, Darren? I tell you, I get yoked up with the wrong things sometimes. Folks need to come. You come and praise the Lord. Oh, He may not change your circumstance, but He'll relieve you and rest you in that circumstance. And by His grace, take you to a new place with a greater ability than you ever had before. All by His power. All by His might. Father, this morning, I thank You for the blessings, God, that You've sent to us. God, I cannot imagine what it was like to see this world reject Your Son. Father, I know what little rejection I felt in my life, how it hurts, and how we agonize over it. Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. They rejected it. Yet in His rejection, He praised You for Your sovereignty. He praised You for Your supreme principles. And then He gave us a sure promise. He said that if we could come unto Him when we are pressed down, when we're afflicted, that You would give us rest. Just give it to us. Though we're unworthy, though we're undeserving, He would give it to us.